body of Christ. And Father, as we do that, we hear testimony again from Ken this morning about how your love, how your arms of love have just surrounded him and cared for him through his time of illness and time of being in hospital. And Father, we thank you that once again we look at you and we say, you're a God who does everything. You're an impossible moving God who moves possibly. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you how you move and how you look at our lives and how you care for us. We think, Lord, of Elizabeth Neal this morning, and we know she's in hospital, God, and she had a heart attack, and yet she's doing well. And God, we praise you for that. Lord, we think of Jeff George, who cut his finger and took his finger off. And God, we know that you're the healer there as well. And we lift him to you and the whole George family to you. All the others, Lord, that we've been praying for, and you know each and every circumstance and situation, and we give them to you. We give each individual to you for your healing in whatever way that is. God, that might be physical, emotional. Lord, it could be even social, and we pray, Father, that you provide that. Lord, we think of those who are grieving right now. We think of the Vickers family, and we're thankful, Lord, that they're here amongst us as the church family. We pray for them that you continue to give them strength. May our arms be your arms of love and encouragement to them. And we also pray for the Alinsky family, and as Eleanor's now with you. And Father, we pray that you'd give them the strength and comfort that they require today as well. And Father, we rejoice that we can come and we can pray for our camp ministry. And so we thank you, Lord, for this past week and for Riley Armstrong and for what happened there. And God, we just pray that all the camp this summer, that all those children and families who came closer to you, that they would continue to draw closer to you as camp is now maybe coming to a close for them. And Father, we pray for this week. You give the staff protection, and that, Lord, that your will be done once again through this week, and that, your ministry would continue at the Quest and all the other camp ministries that are going on. And Father, we pray for peace in Israel and in the Middle East, because these are your people, your chosen ones. And Father, we pray that as your church here, that we would be, Lord, sacrificially praying for them. That our heart would be your heart enmeshed with you, God. That we would love all people. And that, Lord, we'd be concerned about even our neighbor next door. We pray for peace even here in our country, here, Lord, in our city. Right in this room, God, maybe there's a need for peace, and so we pray for that today. Lord, through all of this morning, we pray that you'd be glorified, because that's why we're here. It's all about you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chris, I want you to put up, actually, on the screen, I want you to put up the picture of the missionaries again. If you could do that for me. That'd be great. By the way, good morning. Good, you're all here? You're still with me? That's excellent. Now, look at those. Look at those missionaries. I tell you, they look tanned. They look happy. Do you really think they're missionaries? You better believe they are. I see the four in the middle there? Go from the red shirt, that's John Salmond. It's Logan in the Element shirt. Cassie's in the tank top, and then the black tank top, and then Jenny Lee is in the what color is that? Green? Teal. Thank you, Joyce. Right now, those four are considering or are being baptized in Belize. Praise God. Oh, come on. You can get enthusiastic about that, because Pastor Jeremy phoned me on Friday, and he said, what do you think if, he said that God has really been working in their hearts here, and in our hearts, and these four really want to be baptized. He said, what do you think? I said, no, absolutely no way. We want to stand in the way of God. No, I said, of course. I said, we rejoice with you today. And so we do, we rejoice with them. And I tell you, you got to look forward to the service, the Belize baptism service when they return, because they're videotaping all of this. And we're going to have a huge baptism service and show their baptisms when they return, at some point when they return. Isn't that going to be great? So praise God this morning. And I want to pray for them right now, because they're probably going under the water at this very moment. So let's pray. Father God, we rejoice. We rejoice this morning with those who have made a decision to publicly declare that they are walking through in obedience the waters of baptism with you in Belize. Lord, we're uncertain about how many there are, whether it's Jenny Lee and Cassie and Logan and John, or Lord, even if it's one or two of them, we lift them all to you, and we pray that you would bless them today. Be with Pastor Jeremy, as this is his first baptismal service, and Lord, be with Bonnie as well as she helps and assists. And I pray, Father, that you would be glorified as they publicly make that statement that you are Lord of their lives. And we rejoice as the heavens rejoice today with you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Whew, that's exciting. Okay, you can all go home. Thanks for coming. No. Awesome. Well, I got to tell you, there are moments in life where you just wonder what's going to be the outcome. And I see even in this mission trip, when they were heading off, we were wondering, what's this going to do? What's this going to do for these young people? And I see what God is doing already. Amen? Have you ever wondered, though, about a situation where you wondered what is going to happen? I do a lot of weddings, and I think of a wedding, you know, you've been invited to attend a wedding, and you're sitting in the pew or in the congregation, and you're looking on at this wedding, and you're looking at this couple, and you go, I know her and I know him, and I just don't know how it's going to be possible. I sure don't know what their future holds. You know, you go and you take your child and you're dropping your child off to university, and you see them getting out, and you see them unpacking all their stuff, and as they look at you and give you a hug and a kiss, and maybe if you're lucky, then they say, farewell, see ya, get out of here as soon as you can because my friends are coming. You wonder what their future holds. You wonder what's in store for them. There are many, many moments in life that you can think of where you just wonder what is going to be the outcome of this. It's like the lady, true story, Marie. She went to her door one morning, opened the door. A strange dog sitting there. Didn't have a clue who the dog was. Just sitting there, paper between his teeth, tail a wagging. And so Marie thought, oh, where this little guy came from. She was so impressed. I mean, here he brought my newspaper. This is exciting. So she ran and she got a little treat. She, you know, piece of steak or something. She fed him. And off he went, little tail wagon. Next day, Marie went to get the paper. Here was the same dog, tail wagon, looking at 8 newspapers. Marie delivered newspapers to all her neighbors that morning. You often wonder what the outcome is going to be. I mean, how many of you have ever asked this question? I wonder if I can make my way through this. I wonder what the outcome of this will be. I wonder why I have to go through this. I wonder why I'm the only one who has this kind of a problem. Look at good old Snoopy comes to our rescue. There are a lot of people around who have real problems. Maybe you should write a book that would help people. Think of the worst thing that could happen to someone and then write about it. What to do when your beagle leaves home. What you may think is the worst thing that could possibly happen might not be the worst thing for somebody else. Morning, I want to take a moment to just look at overcoming circumstances. We've carried this journey throughout the summer of how we deal with pain and suffering, and last week we looked at overpowering our fear. Today we need to determine that we can overcome our circumstances. So let's jump in. We're going to look at a young boy who became king by overcoming his circumstances. And I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as you do, I want you to understand and get this down. To overcome circumstances, you've got to first of all realize that God is limitless. That God is limitless. Now, as you're turning in 1 Samuel 17, I want to give you some background to this familiar story. David was a shepherd boy. Saul was king of the land. The Israelites were always being battled by the Philistines, and they were losing. And on this particular day, a giant Philistine named Goliath entered, and no one, even the great warrior Saul, was willing to battle him. And likely this is likely the most widespread and read story in the Old Testament is the one of David and Goliath, the battle. A young boy defeating a large giant. And I know as a child, this gave me hope. I mean, I would read those comic ads, Charles Atlas, about the muscle-building compound drinks that you could, order from a comic book. Do you guys know the ads? You know, that was back in last week. But you drink this drink, and it would turn you into an Arnold Schwarzenegger type, you know. But it gave me such hope that this was a little shepherd boy. When King Saul heard that there was someone in the camp who was willing to fight Goliath, he sent for him, and he was no doubt expecting Charles Atlas, the bodybuilding veteran, to face the 9-foot, 9-inch tall Philistine warrior called Goliath. And who walked in? The little pipsqueak, a shepherd boy who played a harp. And so Saul begins by getting David to wear his royal armor. Now understand, Saul was tall. And David, a boy. Nothing fit. Everything was cumbersome. Nothing worked out. He put it on and clang, clang, clang. And don't you just love how God works? Because sometimes there's nothing more than we can do but trust Him to do the work. So David's clanging around in this armor and he's going, I can't wear this. This is worse than wearing nothing. And so David, look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. Well, verse 36, sorry. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. He didn't say, he has defied me, Saul. He has hurt the Israelites. He said he has hurt and defied God. And he goes on, he says, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David knew God could handle it. David couldn't handle it. Saul couldn't handle it. The armor couldn't handle it. Nothing that he put on could protect him from it. Only God could handle it. Have you ever faced your giant? Have you ever faced your circumstance with only God as your strength and your protection? No one else. Nothing else. I got to tell you, that's the best place to be. The Bible calls us over and over and over again to trust God through our circumstances. To trust God while we're in our circumstances. In fact, we're called to trust God. That means you don't know what the outcome's going to be. And David, the shepherd boy, was able to go far despite difficult circumstances, limiting factors in his life, because he completely trusted in God. He didn't trust in in Saul's armor. He didn't trust in the sacred army. I'll call that the church. Because Israelites, they were like the church at that time. He didn't trust in the church. He couldn't trust in his family. In fact, his family just said, you go off and tend the sheep. You know, we don't even want you around when they're coming around. David, all he had was God. Today I want to tell you something marvelous. You. Yeah. You have God. You have God to walk you up to that giant, that circumstance that you're facing, and say, you're going down today. Good old Clint Eastwood, you can do that. Because you can't limit God. Because he's limitless. You have the same Goliath-killing God that David had. He is right with you this very, very moment. He is here. Don't think for one moment that God can't handle your situation, that God can't take your pain, that God can't take your suffering and use it for his good, because you know that he can. You know from what has happened so many times in your past. Yet we fall into the trap because the devil's good at this. We start thinking, God can't possibly handle this situation. He's got to need my help or something. Or God is just, he's going too slow at this. I've got to get it done so much faster. Or why is God causing me to be this way? Roy Walters said it very well when he said, if you're already in a hole, it's no use to continue digging. But we do. We get in there. I'm in a hole. Start digging. I'm going further. Keep on digging, you know. Have you ever had foot and mouth disease? You know, you put your foot in and then you shove the whole foot in and then you throw the other one in as well. I do that quite frequently with my wife. So often we're walking through such a difficult moment, a difficult situation, and then we start digging again, getting in deeper and deeper because we think we've got it all figured out. Let me tell you, let me in a secret. Your life would be so much easier if you just stop getting in the way of what God is trying to do through you. Don't limit God. He's limitless. Trust God to give you the strength, the security you need today. Don't look anywhere else but up. Don't be looking for ways to deal better with your hurt and your pain. Don't be looking for ways to handle your hurt. Don't be looking for handbooks, novels, drugs, alcohol to get you through. You got to go to God to get you through. I mean it, people. We rely so much, way too much, on the stuff around us to get us through and make us happy than we do on trusting God to walk us through. I got to tell you, last week, I had, you got to understand this. I was at camp the week before, and I had a great time at camp, and ended up with a lung infection. Do you know what that is? You know what a lung infection is? Put your hands up if you do. Okay, that means your lungs are infected. Yeah, it's brilliant. So last week, you know, I'm sitting up here, and I'm standing up here, and I'm trying to breathe. You know, in fact, on Sunday morning, I woke up, and I said to Joan, it's a good thing that Pastor Jeremy's in Belize, otherwise he'd be preaching this morning. And I'm trying to breathe, and I'm trying to get, and I'm in the tub, and I got bubbles going up. No, I wasn't having a bubble bath. I mean, I'm trying to breathe, and I'm trying to get some moisture in my lungs, and I'm trying to, and I come up here, and I pray, and I'm in the tub, and I say, Lord, because I do great conversations in the tub. It's just me and God and water, and it works well. And I said, God, you got to help me. You're going to have to give me the words to say. You're going to help me. You're going to have to give me the strength to preach this morning. This is last Sunday, okay? So I get up and I preach last Sunday. And many of you through the week, in fact, after the service last Sunday, you came up and you said to me, wow, it's the best we've ever heard you preach. In fact, through the week, you kept saying, people kept calling me and referring, emailing me and saying, wow, I can't believe what you said on Sunday. It just hit me. It was just like God used you in a miraculous way. Powerful. I felt rotten, people. What's that? I still have a lung. Just keep quiet, love. So the interesting thing was is that on Tuesday or Wednesday, I start saying to God, you know what? I just want to preach again the best sermon I've ever preached this coming Sunday. I just what I want to do, and I'm planning, and I'm preparing, and I'm getting it all ready, and I'm sorting it all out, and then Thursday God changes it all on me. And I have to come in the office, and I have to rethink the whole thing, and I work on Thursday, and I get it all done and together, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, Lord, how in the world, why did you do this to me? I got to redo this whole thing. I got to revamp the whole message, and I got to redo the whole thing again. And he says, well, wait a minute. I thought you wanted to preach the best you've ever preached. So then I come in on Friday, and my computer doesn't have the message that I put together for Thursday. I mean it. We tried every kind of search on my computer to find that, didn't we, Kate? We tried everything. It wasn't there. And so this morning I got up early and I said, God, what is it that you want? I'm laying in the tub. And I said, God, what is it that you want? He says, I don't want you to preach the best sermon. I just want you to preach. So I'm here. The cortisone's wearing off. You see, we need to trust God. And so many times we come to him and we say, God, I want this. And then he says, okay, I'll give it to you. But then we say, wait a minute, don't take my sermon away. I put together the best message ever. God, don't take that away. I didn't want that. But wait a minute, you prayed for this. This is what I'm giving you. You know what? Turn your Goliath over to Jehovah, the giant killer. Let him take care of your problem. Let him take control of your situation. Let him look after the details. And you take your hands off and you will hold on to him for the ride. Because Jesus said this plain to us. You've heard me quote it many times in John 16:33. He said, these things, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Amen to that? God is everything. He's even your overcomer of your greatest circumstance. Well, to overcome circumstances, you got to realize God is limitless. To overcome circumstances, you got to remember godly focus. You got to focus on God. Look at verse 45 of this passage. You got to see it. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in Saul's armor. No. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Wow, I wish I could have been that kid. David, no armor, no muscles, no karate. David only had himself and God on that battlefield. I don't know about you, but I often think, if I don't have the right equipment, I can't do the job. I need the armor. I need the muscle. I need the sermon notes from 2 weeks ago. I need a willing army to stand behind me. I need something to protect me from getting hurt. I need someone to be there for me. David had nothing. Only his relationship with God. Even his own family weren't there for him. You see, there's something I've learned from David. We must be more concerned about what's going on in us than what is going on around us. Please hear that today. Out of anything else, please hear that. You need to be much more concerned about what's going on in you than what's going on around you. So we're always asking God to change our circumstances. We always want God to change our circumstances, and God will change our circumstances, and he does deliver us, and he does give us breakthroughs. He wants us to have wonderful lives, but he's more concerned about my response to my circumstances than he is my circumstance. And actually, he uses our circumstances. He does not bring bad circumstances into our life, but he uses our circumstances to make us grow up. And if we don't grow up any other way, then he will resort to using our circumstances. I always used to say, my kids, my children growing up, I used to say, Nathan, Felicia, I used to say, they come up to the TV, you know, the beautiful television set that, I mean, you know, we love that thing. And they come up and I'd say, whoa, don't touch the TV. Don't touch. You know, and they'd start reaching out. It's out. Don't touch. You know, third one. You know, don't. Hey, whoa! I said it three times. You only get four. And I was like, I give them my word. If they didn't hear my word, if they weren't getting the point, then I would need to touch their circumstances. It's an act of love. David defeated Goliath. When he did, he removed the limitations from the army of Israel and the Philistines. They ran in retreat. See what happens? You see what happens when you let God do his work? David focused on God. He didn't focus anywhere else. He didn't focus on the circumstance in front of him. He believed that this moment was ordained by God. In fact, Oswald Chambers said, and it's in your bulletin, the circumstances of a saint's life are ordained of God. In the life of a saint, there is no such thing as chance. God, by his providence, brings you into circumstances you cannot understand at all. All your circumstances are in the hand of God. Therefore, never think it strange concerning the circumstances you're in. That's a lot of circumstance. David, young boy, man after God's own heart, grew up to be a great king. All because of his circumstances. All because he loved his life that God gave him. You love your life today? You need to decide to love your life where you're at. Enjoy what God's given to you. Because God gave this to you. It's an unknown source who said, you have to live life to love life. And you have to love life to live life. It's a vicious circle. Ooh, that's powerful and true. Enjoy what God has given you. Praise his name. Give him the glory he deserves. Love your life because he's given it to you. Decide what you're going to focus on, him or the circumstances and problems all around you. Listen to the Spirit of God. Say, I love my life. Can you say that this morning? God, I love my life. God, I love my life. Can you say that this morning? God, I love where you've put me right now. When you listen and when you hear him and you don't listen, you get exactly what you deserve when you don't listen to him. So often we put ourselves in our plight. Sometimes we walk right into the battlefield because we take our eyes off of where they should be, right on our God who's going to take us through it. Now we rationalize, excuse, well, you know, God understands. He's an understanding God. I've had a hard time. I can't read my Bible right now. I don't have time to pray because I'm too busy trying to deal with my circumstance. Let me tell you, you'll discover, just try this. You'll discover you will love life more if you just surrender and let God do what he needs to do to shape your life into his image. So just give it away. You know, we talk about reaching other people and touching other people's lives. Before you can ever touch other people, he's got to do a work in you. And one of the ways God does a work in us is he allows things in our life that pressure us, because pressure is what turns coal into diamonds. He allows a certain amount of fiery trials into our life, because fire is what gets the impurities out of gold. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Bible talks about the refiner and how God sits over our life. And it says in Malachi, he sits over our life like a refiner and a purifier of silver and gold. I want you to close your Bibles because I want you to hear a story this morning. It's a story that I heard a couple, well, a while back, but this couple went into an antique gold shop and they wanted to buy something. And they couldn't find the proprietor, and they finally found a back door open, and they went out that back door, and he was sitting there where there was a big metal pot under a hot fire, and he was sitting there, he's watching it intently, and they said, sir, we want to buy something in your store. Can you just come in and can you take our money?" He said, No, I can't leave this right now." They said, What do you mean you can't leave it? We're a customer. We want to pay you for what we want to buy." And he said, "Well, I can't leave this right now." So they went outside and they started talking to him. They said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm purifying this gold." Well, they said, "Well, why can't you just leave it? Just come in, just leave it on the hot stove and just, on the fire and just come in." And he said, "Well, no, I have to be here. You see, the temperature has to stay at a certain degree. If it gets too hot, it will destroy it. And if it gets too cold, it will harden with the impurities still in it." So then they said, "Well, when will you know when it's finished?" He said, "When I can look in it and see my image." That's what God does with our circumstances. I mean, I've been through stuff just like you've been through stuff and just like you're going through stuff, but you know what? I despised it then, but I look back now and I realize those things that I thought were my worst enemy have turned out to be my best friend. Because they are the things that have changed me, that have caused me to get deeply rooted and grounded in God more and more into His image. And I know now that God is limitless and my focus will never be off of Him. I'll tell you that when you're hurting so bad nobody can help you, you'll go to God and you'll get the help you need. As long as we think that we can solve our problems, as long as we keep running to people, but what you need is a problem so big that people can't help you. In fact, who here has a problem big enough that people can't help you? Don't put your hands up. Because then after the service, people are going to go helping you. I want to tell you, though, that God can do anything. And you're sitting in a church that has 10 acres of land to prove that God can do anything. Amen? Do you trust Him to carry you through? God wants desperately a relationship with His children. He wants us not to be afraid. He wants us not to be in fear. He wants you. Let's pray. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you loving life? Are you enjoying your life right now? Or is it a battlefield, a battlefront, and you see a big giant, a big Goliath standing right in front of you? You wonder how you're going to get through. Maybe you tried to put on the armor. Maybe you've tried to call out to the Israelite army for help. Maybe you've tried even to talk to your family. And all you have is God. This morning, maybe you just want to say to Him, "Lord, I can't do it anymore without You. I need to focus completely on You. Not my circumstance." If you're willing to say that to Him today, just lift your hand. "Lord, I'm not going to focus anymore on my circumstance. Lord, bless you." Just lift your hand. "Lord, bless you. Lord, 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 bless you." God sees those hands. Lord bless you. Father, this morning we have rejoiced together. Lord, it's been great to walk this journey together and to know that we're all in this together. Father, to know that you partner with us, you choose to walk with us when we face the Goliaths in our life, the circumstances that are out of our control. God, that sometimes you remove the armor that people try to put on us. You remove the people all around us so that all we have is you, so that you can refine us more and more into your image. God, we thank you. And Lord, as we walk from this place today, may we walk knowing the peace of not being without circumstances, but knowing the peace while we walk through circumstances. Lord, we cry out to you today and surrender our lives to you, our ministry to you, this church to you, so that in all of this, through us, you would be glorified each and every day, each and every moment, with each and every person. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
The limitless power of God. Was anybody out camping or anything on the long weekend, like 3 weeks ago or whenever that was? Did anybody see the Northern Lights? We were out at Emma Lake, and I don't know why I was outside at 11 o'clock, but I'm probably out to get something from a vehicle or whatever it was, and I happened to look up, and they were different colors and swirling, so it ended up, our whole family was standing outside. We went to where there was no light, like from the cabin, and watching the Northern Lights, and I thought of this song. Whenever I look into the stars, I think of this song.